Well, I want to welcome everyone that is here tonight and those that are listening live or whether it's recorded. I'm here with Pastor Sam and myself, and we are on our Wednesday night roundtable discussion, and we're gonna talk about something that, you know, Pastor Sam and I were inspired about because of the generation that's coming up. And you know, God is really pouring out his glory in these last days, and the new millennium age, this generation that's coming up, even some that are probably close to our age, are beginning to understand that there is no sin. And if there is no sin, then what do you really need God for if there is no sin, you know? But, you know, there is a thing where you can birth sin, and people have to understand that, you know, you still have to be careful about birthing sin through lustful desires. But, you know, that's when you really become addicted. So most people, you know, in today's world are just good people. How many would agree that most people are just good people? They're not sinners. They're not, you know, evil. They're not bad. When they come to places where they have addictions, then there's an issue. How many would agree with me on that one? And that's when, you know, you actually are birthing in sin. But, you know, why do we really need God? And, you know, I was sharing with Pastor Sam is that, you know, without God, you don't have the power. See, we need to begin to share with an understanding that God is the one who really relieves you to opportunity. You know, God gives and God takes away. God opens up doors where no man can open, and God shuts the doors where no man can shut. God is a ruler to your life through the good way. And not only that, but he offers you power. And we need to begin to understand the power of God in our lives. Most of us, for one, come to a place of hopelessness, and with hopelessness, you know, you don't feel like you want to do anything. You don't have any energy. You're not enthused, or you have enthusiasm to do things and follow through, and you seem to run out of gas. But God gives you strength so that this way you can accomplish the things that you desire to do. He helps you do the impossible when things are possible. And we need to go check out what we got here. And one of the other things that we were sharing is not only God's power, but also understanding truth. Because I don't know about you, but when certain circumstances come into your life, your mind tends to really speak negative and always tend to bring us to a point of really downplaying ourselves, making us feel not worthy, making us worry, causing us to fear, create imaginations that cause, really, I want to say, death or anxiety in our lives and stress. And how many of us just here today fall into those categories? I mean, you sit there by yourself and you're alone, and when you're alone, these thoughts come into our minds. And really, we have no power nor truth to war against them. And this is why it's so important and to understand why we need God, because God gives you the power and the truth to war against the imaginations that come into our mind. Without the power and without God's truth, we're lost.
You're tormented. This generation coming up has no sin, but they are still subject to fear, worry, and anxiety, which will hold up your life. See, we always say it. God has,
and lost. And no direction.
Correct. No, you're confused. You have no direction. But you know, God has written a life on everyone's heart, and it's a passion, it's a hope, it's your path. And you know, the power Pastor's talking about is the power to overcome the lies that are coming into your head, and that power is actually truth. And the truth of God is called the grace, and grace is basically the truth about God, and it's the truth about God for your life, you know?
Yeah, well, we're born, and when we are born, we also are birthed with a life. And in that life, you have ambitions, you have desires, you have ideas that you'd like to do, whether it's maybe being an artist or, you know, someone who wants to invent or whatever it might be, operating their own business, whatever it might be, you have these things inside of you, and 99.9% the life that is in you is overpowering your will. Your will doesn't have the strength to accomplish it. You might get some of it. You might be able to accomplish a portion of it. But when you call out to God and cry out for God, and you really search for the higher power of God, He begins to endure you with this supernatural power, with creativity, and opens up your thoughts and your minds to come up with an ever-increasing ability to accomplish that life. And when you see that you're able to accomplish your life through the power of God, there's a worship that comes out of us, and we know that we can't do it on our own strength, so our eyes are always coming to that place of worshiping God. And this is His design. You know, God created us, and He says, I created you to worship me. And what are we supposed to worship God on our own will? We can't. But when we allow God to manifest through our lives, He does the impossible. See, nothing's impossible but for God, but everything is impossible for man, but nothing is impossible for God. So when He begins to move on your behalf, you realize that it was a higher power that opened up the doors or shut the doors or whatever it might have been to protect you or to increase your advancement of life. And when you receive that life, you receive an abundance of joy, an abundance of peace. You get happiness. And through that, the lies and the thoughts that are trying to tear your life apart, because that's kind of like the ruler of this world's design, his authority is to be able to enter your mind and to take your mind and to belittle you and cause you not to be able to have the strength to do it. It creates imaginations. It makes you say to yourself that, you know, the worst scenario.
That's right.
And it really brings death or hopelessness, and it makes you sick. It gives you anxiety.
And this is the battle that we're in. We're in a war, and that war is all in our minds. See, we can't control anything in this world. You can't control your husband, can't control your wife, can't control your car breaking down, you can't control anything. Only thing you have control over is yourself. But without the truth, without something to battle the lies that are in our minds, because what's the first thing that happens? You get a phone call. It's the tax guy on the phone. He's saying you owe this much money in taxes. The first thing you say to yourself, I'm losing my house. You get a letter in the mail. It's from the bank saying you owe $50,000, and then the next thing you know, you're thinking the worst case scenario. No matter what happens, our mind goes to the worst case scenario, and the only thing you can control in this whole entire world is you. See, if you control you, that's what God gave us the power to do. He gave us the power to control our minds. He gave us the actual power to do it for ourselves by applying His truths. And we've preached message after message after message in here and giving you key after key after key of God's truths. I mean, one of them is surrender, accept, and receive. You know, that's one of our big keys. Mm-hmm. You surrender to whatever's happening. You accept whatever's happening, and you just sit back and you receive it. And you can't fight. We try to fight battles in this world that we don't have the authority to fight. And that's why we're frustrated. That's why we have anxiety. That's why we have anger and bitterness, because you're fighting a battle you can't win. If you control yourself, if you can control yourself by applying truth to the lies in your mind, God will control everything else in your life. What he wants you to do is he wants you to bring you to a place of peace and rest. He wants you to stop striving yourself and stop hitting the wall. And because the definition of insanity is doing the same thing every single day, looking for different results. So what he wants is you to have peace, you to have joy, you to surrender from fighting every battle out there that you're not have authority to fight, and just sit back and just fight the battle in your mind. Pastor said something on Sunday that was vital. He said, we have the power to control our peace and joy. And the most important thing in this walk is having peace and joy. If you have peace and you have joy and you're sitting back, that means God's moving. If you have anxiety, fear, or worry, God can't move because you're acting in your strength. He said, if you live by your strength, you're going to die by your strength.
When, you know, one of the things about understanding why we need God, one of the gentlemen that we just met earlier today, he's like, you know, I don't know if I believe in God. He believes in God because he was with another partner. But I don't know if I believe in God. And I said to him, I said, I know why you don't believe in God. I said, you don't believe in God because God didn't do anything special in your life, and that's why you don't believe him. And he's like, you're right. I know that there's a God, but I don't really believe like that he's there for me or he's actually there. And I said, and the reason why he believes in God is because God must have did something in his life. And he's like, yeah, God did. He saved my daughter. Yep. She had a brain tumor or something.
Blood in the brain.
We had blood in the brain, and God healed her, and she woke up out of a coma or whatever, and the blood out of the tumor or what have you in her brain, you know, dissipated, and she was healed, and she didn't die. And so he realized that there is a God. So, you know, out there, I understand what most people are going through because God hasn't done anything special in your life or hasn't maybe touched you in a dramatic way to the point where, you know, you can experience that he really is real. But I want you to know that moving forward, if you would just begin to understand that you have desires and you have a will that you want to accomplish things, why go through the struggle of tormenting into the mind when you don't have to?
Exactly right.
You know, I know God very well, and my heart is very much connected to him, but I still war battles in my life. I'm constantly fighting tormented thoughts. And because I knowing God, and the pain that I receive fighting these tormenting thoughts, I can just imagine what others are going through when they don't know God. And so I know that we tend to turn towards other things to take our mind off of certain circumstances, but it's not going to change the direction. You're still going to have to wake up tomorrow and face it. You might take a sleeping pill and make you sleep better tonight, but you're going to wake up and you're still going to have to face it. How are you going to handle it? How are you going to be able to grow and mature in life and accomplish things on this earth while you have the ability to accomplish? How are you going to be able to go to those places that you want to go to and do those things that you want to do if you're constantly warring over the thoughts of your mind and you can't control your thoughts? You know, our bodies are shut down and we come across illnesses because of anxiety and things of that nature. We receive things where they're all lies. I truly believe we can overcome every aspect of our life. It might take a little bit of time. It might take some patience. We might have to work things out, but the outcome is we get through it. These things shall pass. But the torment and the living hell,
yep,
that you go through without God,
it's unbearable.
It's not worth it.
No wonder people turn to drugs and alcohol and everything, because
sure,
you can't deal with life. It's horrible.
They can't deal with life. And, you know, I am just trying to share with those that are listening the importance of understanding God now. But then yet you have to realize that we also will have an eternal life too. You know, after after our life, there is a place that we go. People, some think that we go in the ground and we just get eaten up by worms or what have you, or, you know, maybe we just come back as a flower or something like that. But, or they might not believe that there is a hell altogether. But, you know, I'm going to be with you on this one. You know, hell is not like one real hot place that everybody goes to, and then heaven's like this real cold place. You know, it's really the condition of where you leave this earth.
Correct.
So it's important to understand peace. It's important to understand joy. And this brings you into an immortality state of a divine nature. And we call this divine nature Christ. And it brings you into a divine nature. And I did speak a message on Sunday, and I wish others would grab a hold of that message and listen to it. But I also spoke about a place and how important it is to come into the divine nature and how to come into the divine nature and be able to have a relationship with God. You can't have a relationship with God if you're filled with fear and worry and anxiety and all these other issues. You need to come to a joy. You need to come to peace. You need to come to a place of righteousness. Now, when we start out, yes, we're going to be in fear. We're going to have anxiety. But God hears the heart's cry. So if you're in anxiety right now, unbearable anxiety, unbearable torment, you just can't sleep at nights. You're comatosing yourselves just to try to get through the day and all this. That is a cry in your heart. God hears that. But as he comes into your life, he's going to wash over you with some peace. Now this is where the warfare comes.
That's right.
It's called spiritual warfare. And we need to really understand the warfare. You know, I truly believe because of the age that we're living in and the gospel message, because the gospel message has been around since the foundations of the world. Most understand that the 2,000 years ago with Jesus and his gospel message. But this gospel message for today is bringing people to be able to equip themselves in warfare, correct, in spiritual warfare. God wants us to become immortal.
Yep.
He wants us to become divine. He wants us to know him. But then you have darkness, which is ever increasing. In the last days, darkness is ever increasing. So the voices and the torments that come into our minds are always speaking negative.
Correct.
Oh, you look funny. Oh, you sound funny. You're doing this wrong. You're not capable of doing it. You're going to get in trouble. You're going to do it. It's just constant beating down. And it's getting worse.
You know, it's life's about choices. And we've been given a free will from God to make choices. And you know, we suffer with the same things you're suffering with. We do have fear. We do have some worry. We do have anxiety. But the difference is that we have truth, that we can go in and battle the anxiety in our hearts and our minds, and battle and seek God and worship him to the point where the fear, worry, and anxiety has to leave. It leaves us. It's only there for a short period of time. Most people suffer with fear and anxiety forever and ever because they don't realize they don't have a choice. Without having truth, without having something to fight the lies in your mind, you have no choice. If you have no choice, then you are bound. You have no control because you have nothing to fight with. The only thing you can fight the fear, worry, and anxiety with is truth. You have to fight it with truth. You have to say, no, I'm not going to lose everything because God is in control. If God is for me, who could be against me? These truths that are coming to our mind are the only weapons we have against the enemy. And the enemy is the fear, worry, and anxiety. It's trying to destroy you. When you don't have choices, you're bound. We have choices. We have been in this ministry for years and years and years, and we have choices. And that's what we're making this gospel simple. We're not trying to complicate it. We're saying it's simple. You have choices. And we will give you the keys to use to fight the battle. It's that simple. And we have the tools. We have these tools. You put the key in the lock, and it opens up every time, and you walk out scot-free. But listen, it does take an effort. He says labor one time in the whole New Testament. He says, labor to be in my rest. He says, labor, work at it. Because if you don't, you're subject to fear, worry, and anxiety. Because that stuff will bring sickness to your body. It'll bring sickness to your life. It'll destroy your path. It'll destroy any hope you have. And it'll put you in a room sleeping for 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And that's not what we want. We want to have choices. And we will give you choices here. We have the truth. We have the tools. And listen, we tried them, and they're true. And they work every single time.
You know, what I find out and I find interesting is most people have been able to be accustomed to the torment.
Used to it.
And they get used to it. And they feel that this is the way life is.
Those things become your friends.
And they have no idea. They have no idea that life can be so much better.
Yep, that's the whole thing.
They're clueless, and they become numb, actually, to the pain and the suffering.
Yep.
But they never accomplish anything in their life. It's almost like, why are you even living?
It's like getting through the day is an accomplishment.
Yeah.
I just got to get through today. No. It's not today. There's a life for you out there.
Yeah, it's almost like punching a work clock.
That's right.
Oh, I'm here till 5, and then, oh, my life can start. You know, why would anybody want to live a life like that? You know, there's no purpose. You got to be able to start pulling down the thoughts that are in their minds. You know, I look at some people, and some people are just not tormented. You look at them and you say, my God, how do you even get, you know, you have nothing going on. And then I look at other people, and they're just tormented. I look at the ones that are tormented to that extent, and I say to myself, you know what? God wants to use that person in a mighty way. There's a call on that person's life, and the enemy is just looking to destroy that person.
Correct.
You see? And there might be some that have already warred and came into a place, and they're not subject to torment. They could have already built an authority in heaven.
Yep.
To where darkness can't touch them. They know that they can't touch. One of the things that we need to understand is the thoughts in the mind are real, and they are living, and they're subject to a life, and their life is to destroy yours. That's what it's for. They are alive. They're spirits. You can't see spirits with your physical eyes, but if you can hear the voices in your head, that should be evident to you to know that they're alive.
And they're a power.
They speak. Yes, they have a power. The power is influence.
Correct.
The power is to say something negative that all of a sudden gets your nerves going. It gets your nerves jingling. It keeps you awake.
Vibrating.
It keeps you awake where you can't sleep. You toss and turn throughout the night because that thought is causing your body to not get any rest. See, we really have to wake up and begin to understand the power of the supernatural realm. This is why it's so important to understand God. God is supernatural. God is a spirit. God is a good spirit that wants to save yourself. Darkness, the one that speaks in your mind that causes all the negative activity, that causes your nerves to go nuts and to think negative and get your stomach upset and sick in your stomach and, you know, you just can't sleep and you're just ill and you have no energy. You just want to, like, lay around and do nothing because you have no drive. That's their purpose.
Yep.
It's to kill, steal, and destroy your life. That's their purpose. We need to understand that there's a world that we can't see, and it's supernatural, it's spiritual, and it's alive, and it's living. And part of that world, the majority of the power, is destroying us.
Correct.
The kingdom of God suffers violence, and the violence is taking it by force. And that means that the good world, the kingdom of God, peace and joy and righteousness, is being stolen, being robbed, being destroyed, taken by violence. And that means that this power, this dark power, is killing us. And our purpose is to set us free, set you free, set everyone free from the powers of darkness that is looking to destroy your life.
Correct.
Or cause you to think wrong and keep you from doing something that you should be doing. Something that really does bring joy into your heart. Something that really does bring happiness in you. But the lies, the forces of darkness, are telling you different.
It'll never work. You'll never get it.
Yeah. You don't sound right. You don't look right.
How's it going to happen?
You don't have no money.
Resources.
Yeah.
You know, Scripture says that God did not give us a spirit of fear. Mm-hmm. But he gave us a spirit of power, love, power, and a sound mind.
I like that part, sound
mind.
That's
what I was going to say. That's the most important part.
Yep.
Because, you know, he didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. That sound mind is where the battle is. He wants your mind at peace. He wants your mind at rest. And that's,
God does.
And that's where God wants. That's the battlefield. When we can see that that's the only battlefield, that's the only place we have to fight, it mm-hmm. makes it so much easier. You can focus on the battle. You're mm-hmm. not fighting in that. You're not trying to fight over here. You're dealing with what God gave you the power of. He gave you a sound mind. He gave you power and love. That love is his love. That love's from him. And that power is the truth. That power is the grace of God, the knowledge of God. And when you apply that, your sound mind is going to come because you keep kicking those, that fear out, that worry out, that anxiety out by overcoming by truth. But you have to believe it. You can't just speak it. You got to start believing it. You got to keep believing God. You have to start somewhere.
Well, God says that I'll give you my spirit, and my spirit will come, and he's called the Comforter. And this is what we cry out, and look, you know, not physically cry out, we ask. When hardship comes to us, this is how we handle it. Lord, help me. Deliver me from this evil one, because yep. we already know it's an evil thought. Anything that's going to try to take happiness from me, joy from me, cause me to worry, cause me to fear, make me feel as though that I'm not worthy for it, or that I can't obtain my hopes and my dreams. They're lies.
Yep.
And I say to the Lord, Lord, you need to help me. Deliver me from this evil one. Deliver me from these thoughts, because I know my heart is saying one thing and my mind is saying another. And I know that my mind is nothing more than a lie. My heart is true. And you know my heart. The mind is destroying me. And please give me the strength to overcome these thoughts.
Amen.
And he does. He comes. And then I say, Lord, I need a comfort. I need a cushion. I need something to help me. And then he gives you creative ideas. He shows you ways of working things out. It's not always that he comes in a cloud and drops whatever you're looking for.
Jim, it's over here.
And then gives it to you. A lot of times, he'll awaken you.
And you'll see something that you didn't see before.
Exactly right.
Hello. That wasn't there before.
And then all of a sudden, you say, okay, let me try it. Now, of course, the wars of the mind will come in and say, but you need it now. And it's going to take forever for you to get it. And blah, blah, blah. But you move forward. And you say, no, Lord, I'm going to do it. And then next thing you know, you get a phone call that day. Someone shows up at your door that night and works out everything. And provides for everything that you need and things of that nature. Look, they want to kill steal, and destroy your life.
And they are.
And they're doing it. They're doing it. Now, I have three little girls, and they're here tonight.
Young ladies.
And they understand to a point the supernatural world. But you know what? I'm there for them. And sometimes it helps when you have somebody there for you. And I tell the girls, I said, listen, don't think those bad thoughts. And whatever you do, stick with me. Hang close to me. Hold me tight. Don't let me go out of your sight. I'm here. I'll be your spiritual comforter until your strength is built into the realm of the Spirit. We all need our strength built into the realm of the Spirit. You can't just say, hey, you know what? I believe what you're saying, and all of a sudden,
no,
you got spiritual muscles. You need others around you to help you deal with these warfares.
You need it. It's impossible to be out there by yourself.
You can't be by yourself.
You'll never make it.
See, one of the things that I used to share, like some people would say, well, I got God in my heart and I don't need church. Well, you know what? You're right. You don't need church. But you do need people with the same like mind and the same like spirit. You need to encamp yourself around individuals that understand this spiritual warfare, understand the Spirit of God. You need comfort. You need to be comforted until you're able to be built up and right. Stand on your own two feet. This was the purpose of the church 2,000 plus years ago when the church was birthed. This was the real reason why. They knew that there were spiritual warfare. They knew that they couldn't do it on their own, and they needed brothers and sisters in the Spirit to be able to be there to encourage and to lift up and to hold and to guide.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, in the New Testament, what they did was they all sold everything they had, and they came and lived amongst each other because they knew they needed to be around each other. Well, I'm not saying we're going to do that, but I'm saying that was pretty smart that they sold everything they had, and they put everything in a bucket, and they all lived together in their little thing.
Because and everybody had need.
Everybody had need.
And the needs were fulfilled.
So
when you have all your needs fulfilled, does that bring you a little peace?
Yep.
Does that bring a little comfort?
Yep.
When you know you're not all alone? When you know that you have others to help you hold the bare of the bones there, you know, that's why it's nice to have marriages. You know, you find a husband, you find a wife, you both hold the weight of the world together, and you move forward and you raise a family, and then the children come along and they help hold the load, and you know, and everybody participates, and it gets easier and easier when you start developing a family that all comes together and works together.
It becomes
together.
A life.
It becomes
it's
a
not
life.
A religion, it's a life. It's a lifestyle.
It's a life.
It's a choice.
And this is what we're trying to bring everyone out there that is hearing us. Because what has been happening is separation.
Yep.
Everyone is drifting out on their own. Everyone is getting divorced. Everyone is separating. Kids are separating. Everybody's separating. No one is coming together anymore. And, you know, it's a shame because now they're being thrown out like into the wolves. And all the wolves are over there looking. See, darkness is like a lion. You know, they're crouching and looking and waiting to devour. They're waiting. They're waiting. You know.
You know what lions do too? They separate. Huh. When they're coming in for a kill, they separate the weak one, or they separate the one, and they go after the one. They won't go after the group. They'll go after the one. They'll separate and go after it.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
See? They do.
So, you know, they don't go after the group. They go after that one. They go after the weak one. They go after the sick one.
Whatever one they can separate. Whichever one isn't strong in the group, sitting out there on their own. You know, people actually think that no one knows what they're going through. You're sitting in your room.
Oh, there are the lies.
Exactly. You're sitting in your room and you think no one knows. Nobody can understand what I'm going through. You don't know. You are not in my shoes. Listen.
Well, let me hold you up right there, because I want you to continue to go on, but I want to break that to the point where I want our listeners to begin to be aware. When you begin to start thinking that way, that is the beginning of that darkness that is out devouring
the lion, separating
the lions who are separating you from the crowd and making you weak.
Yep.
So that they can come in and start devouring you.
Yep. Because when you're by yourself, you're not hearing anybody else. You're hearing the voices in your head.
Yep.
Like Pastor said a long time ago, if you think your mind is clear, sit in a room by yourself, turn everything off. No TV, no radio, all by yourself. And just sit there quietly. Don't say a word. Just sit there by yourself and see what comes into your mind.
Watch what you start thinking about.
If your mind is clear, you're good. And I won't say anything else. But nobody's mind is clear. You're going to hear all kinds of voices. You're going to see all kinds of visions. You're going to see all kinds of avenues, all kinds of things where you fell short. You're going to see all your failures because you're not at peace. And that's the difference. That's how you know. You know, when they can separate you by yourself, it's over. I mean, there's nowhere to go with it, really.
And that's why it's important to understand God and to know God and to be around people who know God. I'm not big on religion. Most people who know me, I don't like religion at all. Organized religion in itself, traditions of religion, the works of religion, I don't like any of it because it goes against my heart. It makes me do things that I don't want to do.
Correct.
I don't really feel that I need to do all the works that they're asking me to do. I'm busy as it is, and you know, and I just want to have my relationship with God, just like everybody else. They just want their relationship with God. But you can't deny the fellowship of the brethren.
You get self-righteous.
And the sisters. You cannot deny the fellowship so that you can be strengthened and build up and encouraged. You need people in your life that are same like mind and same like spirit. Unfortunately, they're not in the church. We are developing a church that is like this, where you have no religion, no traditions of religion, not asking you to do anything other than come alongside and build up and edify, to understand your passions, understand that your desires, come alongside, pray to God, pray for one another, have that communion and that relationship with God, not with the works of religion, not with the traditions of religion, but the fellowship of one another. To be able to understand your passions and your loves and your needs and your hurts. And when one mourns, we all mourn. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. And bring the church back to what the church should be.
Correct.
Not about programs.
Mm-mm.
Not about to-do lists. Not about, you know, the traditions. It's all about understanding the laws that are written on our hearts. Each one has a different law, even though we have common denominators. But to be able to know a need and be able to ask God and help them through that need and be able to be there and maybe even help with the need, I mean, how much greater can that be to be able to help get through the warfare in life?
Yeah, and also, we're there to listen to you, hear what you're saying. And then a lot of times we hear where your thinking is off a little bit.
Where you have to tweak it.
And we'll tweak it a little bit, and you'll be right back on track. In your life, there's the peace back again. There's the joy back again. Mm-hmm. You know, the scripture says that we're transformed by the renewing of our mind. Mm-hmm. There's no other way to be transformed. There's no other way to get past where you're at except by renewing your mind. You know, we were talking earlier, and you know, the scripture says that there is nothing that you go through that's not common to all men.
Nope.
Men have been on this earth for thousands and thousands of years. People have been on this earth. And you think you're the only one that went through your problem? I mean, we have to get off our island. We have to stop thinking that we're the only ones that go through this. Listen, I'm 46. pastor's 50, listen, 52, there is nothing that you've gone through that he or I haven't gone through a similar thing. Maybe it wasn't with Stacy or Tom, maybe it was Sarah and Dave, but it's the same exact thing. There's nothing that you go through that's not common to all men, and we have to stop thinking that we're all alone, and you have to come, and listen, come here. This is the place where you can come. We know, and listen, we not only have suffered the same thing, but we overcame it. Don't talk to people who haven't overcome it. Don't talk to the people who haven't gotten peace through circumstance. Talk to those who have overcome. Talk to those who have found the pathway out, and they're the ones you got to fellowship and be around.
And how about just having comfort?
Yep.
Just having comfort, knowing that you have good people around you that
you can trust.
That you can trust. And I truly believe that God is really building up the true church.
Correct.
In these last days, with the people that have the same like mind and the same like spirit, and removing the canker worms and the locusts and the cancers.
Yeah, because it goes down to what people want from you. People want from you. They want your money. They want your labor. They want this. We don't want anything from you. All we want is, like a pastor said to me a long time ago, all I want from you is all that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I want for you. I want nothing else but everything that God has for you. And listen, you have a passion, you have a hope, you have a desire in your heart, and we come alongside you and we agree with your passion, we agree with your hope, we help you get it, we help you find, we help you think right, we help you go to God, we pray with you until your hopes and passions come to fruition, and that's our goal. Listen,
and at the same time, you know, I'm going to be honest, and I'm sure Sam will agree with me, Pastor Sam will agree with me, is we would want you to come alongside with us.
Correct.
And help fill our hopes.
This is the place.
And help fill our desires.
Yep.
You see, I mean, it's comes both ways. I mean, I love to see when someone's hopes and desires come through. I love when someone comes up to me with a need and they say, listen, this is where I'm at, this is what I need. And I say to them, you know what? I'm going to go to my Father in heaven. I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to watch God move. And then next thing you know, they're coming back to me. Guess what? That trailer just sold, you know? Or I just got my job, or I just got my breakthrough here. And I guess what? I just found my heart's desire. I just found my mate. I just found my job. I just found the, you know? And they come across.
And almost every time, it's actually way bigger than you ever thought was going to happen. It's way bigger. And, you know, that's the difference. We try to put God in a box, and we try to figure out the plan instead of just sitting back and resting and just realizing that God has control. He always gives you, he says this in scriptures, he will give us more than we could ever ask or imagine. You know, I can ask for a lot, and I can imagine a whole lot. So if he's saying he'll give us more than we could ever ask or imagine, we just got to sit back and rest and control what we can control. You know, they were in the New Testament, John the Baptist was baptizing in the river, and the Pharisees, the religious people, came to him and they said, hey, John, baptize us. We understand what you're doing is for God. You know, we want to be baptized. And he said this. He said, first, go forth and show fruit worthy of repentance, and repentance will come. And that fruit is self-control. That fruit is having that peace and that joy, and that's our whole battle. That's our whole entire war. When we simplify the gospel, it's attainable. The gospel people are preaching out there, they say they're not even worthy of it. They say that, oh, we're not worthy. We're just sinners. We're not worthy of having anything. We tell you, no. You're worthy of having everything that God put in your heart. It's all attainable. Every single thing he put in you is attainable. Through him. And they sit there and say, oh, we're not worthy. We're just sinners. We should be burning in hell for what we... What did you do? Who's lying to you, telling you did something wrong? Who's telling you did something wrong? Who is talking to you, telling you these things? I don't understand it.
Well, it's that spiritual warfare. That's the world, the darkness in the world, that is constantly going to haunt us.
Correct.
We're haunted.
Correct.
How many here alone are haunted and tormented on a daily basis? Let's be real. How many lies and how many thoughts come in your head that are negative? I mean, it's life. It happens. It comes. It attacks.
This is how they try to attack.
Now, some days are good. But fall short on maybe an electric bill, come short in your bank account, have a sickness in your body.
Get a letter in the mail.
Get a letter in your mail.
A phone call.
A phone call that's a little upsetting. And then watch what happens.
Everything's a test.
Your whole life changes. All of a sudden, it changes. If you can rejoice through the storms.
That's it.
Now I want to know your God.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because without my God, I don't know if I can live a life that he is calling me to live. And I know that this is really what my desire is. My hopes and my desire is to live this life. But the life that you're to live, you can't do it.
Correct.
You can't do it on your own. Let me just kind of repeat myself here. You have a life. You can't do it on your own. You need God. You can't do it.
Yeah, he's given you a path. He's given you a life.
He's given you a life. He's given you a passion. He's given you a desire. He's given you something that you long for and you want.
Correct.
You can't have it. You can't obtain it on your own.
And it drives you nuts.
Let's put it this way. Let's say this is sad and it happened. It happened. It happened to a friend of ours. I feel bad about it. They longed and desired a child. They gave up. They gave up waiting. They gave up looking. They gave up waiting. They took the other way out. And they used all kinds of excuses too. They went to an adoption. They ended up adopting. I didn't know them at the time. Ended up, they went to adoption. And then when they adopted, they raised the kid. And the kid grew up to the point where they had to tell him that they weren't the real biological children, you know. And the kid turned on them.
Mm-hmm.
They poured their heart out and everything on that child, every the whole nine yards. Kid just turned on them. Sad. And I just truly believe if they just cried out to God.
Waited a little bit
and
more.
And waited.
Patience is a virtue.
And just kept on crying out to God. Now, some people will say, oh, Jim, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know what? I've seen miracles. I've seen too many signs, wonders, and miracles to tell me any different.
Yeah.
I'm not against adoption. I'm against not crying out to God.
That's all he wants.
If it's in you, and that desire is in you, don't go taking a weak source and go a different direction.
Yeah.
Cry out to God.
Yeah, there's door A, and there's B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K. And A's the door. You can't go to any other door but A.
In the Bible, didn't someone wanted a child?
Yep.
Got a maidservant to have the child for him.
Yep.
Because they couldn't wait, right?
Yep, Abraham.
And what happened? What happened to
Ishmael?
And Ishmael,
right? Rose up, and he became the other side, bad side.
The bad side.
Yep.
You know, these things happen, and people can judge them. But listen to the moral of what is being said. Just cry out to God.
You know, in that story, God gave Abraham a promise. And every one of us has a promise in our heart. That's our hopes, our passions. He's giving you a promise. That's why it's there. It didn't just appear in your imagination, or else it would have been gone a long time ago. The hopes and the passions are there forever. And they're going to keep talking to you, keep telling you this is for you. Because it's a promise from God. Just like Abraham had a promise of a son, but he chose to have his servant, Eleazar, create Isaac. I mean, create
Ishmael.
Ishmael. And later on, after Ishmael was born, his wife Sarah actually got pregnant at about 100 years old and had a real child of Abraham, which was the promise of Isaac, and he was the forerunner of mm-hmm. God's people.
Yep. We don't have the mind of God. We don't. We don't have the mind of God. But I do know God tests us. He tests us. And I always say to people, if it's in you,
yep.
and you have that desire, that want, that desire, that need, if it's in you, it's yours.
Yep.
But only through God.
Correct.
And this is why it's so important that we're talking about why you need God. People are frustrated because they're not getting what they want inside of them.
Correct.
They're getting very upset. They're getting angry. They're getting mad. They're getting disappointed because they're not getting what they want that's inside of them.
Correct.
And it's because they're not asking God for them.
That's right. And they're not waiting on God.
They're not coming to God.
Correct.
They're not coming to God. They're coming through other resources.
Correct.
Through different avenues. They're not coming to God. And I already know that if when you come to God and you ask God, it's supernatural, He answers and He begins to work on your behalf.
He just wants you to acknowledge Him.
You're not acknowledging Him.
No.
If you're listening to me tonight and you hear this through a tape or whatever, and you're not getting the desires of your heart, it's because you're not asking.
Yep.
You might be asking, but you're asking in a miss.
Yep.
You're not really asking with your heart. You're asking with your lips. You're asking with your head. Yeah, I went to God. Yeah, I asked Him. It's almost like
Santa Claus.
Yeah. Well, when my kids sometimes come to me, you know, they'll be like, "Hey, Dad, can I get it?" You know, and I don't really hear them. You know, because they're not. But when they say, "Dad," and they hit, you know, they tap me on the shoulder, and I look, "What?" And I hear them. Then I'm like, "Yeah, okay, sure, go ahead." It's just like our Heavenly Father. Maybe you're not saying it loud enough. Maybe you're not going to Him with sincerity. Maybe you're taking Him as a common thing, and you're not really coming to Him with sincere in your heart. And then, when you do come to Him with sincere in your heart, then you got to let it go.
That's right.
This is the key. You got to say, "Okay, God, I came to you. I came to you and I shook you. You heard me. And now I'm going to let it go in your hands."
And that's the battle.
This is when all of a sudden your breakthroughs come.
Yep.
The problem is we stop. We don't let it go. It's like, "Well, I went to God, I prayed 6 times, and then you get angry.
And anxiety comes in.
And then you get angry again, and then you get angry, and you get upset. And guess what? Darkness is like holding the door shut. And darkness is not allowing God to open the door. Because you're feeding and manifesting anger and hatred and your spoiled little brat attitude and everything else. And God's like, "If you're going to be acting like that, I'm going to make you wait."
Yep.
See, I know God. I know Him very well. And I'm not saying that I don't kick and scream and act like a little baby, okay? But I'm learning to not act like a baby. I am learning to rejoice in everything and be glad in everything. I'm not saying that I don't come under attacks. I come under attacks on a daily basis, but I'm learning more and more that I need Him in my life. I'm learning more and more that God is doing these things only because He's drawing me even closer, and I'm going to tell you why, for your account. The things that I'm suffering is for your account, so that I can share with all those that are listening how to get through the mess. How to get the desires of your heart.
How to trust God.
How to trust God.
That's all He wants. He wants us to trust Him. He wants us to trust Him beyond fear, worry, and anxiety. Once you get that prayer, like Pastor was saying earlier, you get that prayer to God, you know you touched Him, that's when the battle comes. Because your mm-hmm. mind's going to be fearing about it, worrying about it, anxiety about it. And, you know, having that place of peace and rest and letting God be God, letting God fulfill the destiny is how He wants it. He wants the glory. He wants to do it in a way that you could never figure out. And you know, you just got to find that place of rest. Once you touch Him with your request, or you touch Him, you say, "God, I know this is from You. I know this desire in me is from You. And I'm going to put it in Your hands. And I'm asking You to bring it to pass." Then the battle comes.
And now this is going back. This is what the church is for, because then you come and talk to those that are in the body of Christ with the same like mind. Same. Well, did you ask God? Yes. Okay. Are you now rejoicing? Are you accepting it? Or he's going to give it to you. Now are you thanking him?
Where's it at?
Are you thanking him or are you complaining about it? Are you thanking him or are you still whining like a little baby? Well, I'm whining. Well, don't whine. Stop whining, because if you keep whining, you got darkness holding the door closed.
Everything's a test.
You keep whining, darkness, and you're empowering darkness to keep the door closed.
Yep.
So what do you want to do? You want to keep empowering, or should we like move the darkness away from the door by rejoicing? Yep. See, rejoicing and praising and giving thanks is power.
Yep.
Power that you don't know. And this is what we're trying to bring across to the world right now. A power that they don't know. And why do we need God for this power?
Correct.
To push darkness away from the door so that God can open up the door and fulfill the desires of your heart. But you're feeding and empowering darkness by your murmuring, your complaining, your bad thoughts, you carrying on, your negative activities, your negative thoughts. You're negative, 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 and you're just feeding, 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 and empowering, and empowering. And you're just like knocking wedges under the door, and you're putting nails and boards on that door, helping darkness so that God can't open the door.
Yeah, negative pushes away. Positive attracts. Negative pushes everything away.
So what do you want to do? You want to change the way you're thinking tonight? I hope and pray that this round, this table discussion is getting us to change the way we're thinking tonight so that we can rejoice. Now, I'm going to tell you right now, it's hard to rejoice when you're not getting what you would like.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard. Okay? It's very hard. But you got to do it. And if you can see in the supernatural and see darkness holding back the door, and then you saw the power of rejoicing, you saw the power of giving thanks, push darkness away from the door. If you could see that, then you would make it a lot easier to rejoice.
Let me say this. Start by being grateful. We always say this for the five fingers on each hand. Start by being grateful that you can see clearly. Start by being grateful that you have a sound mind. Be grateful that you have food in your stomach, that you have money in your pocket. Be grateful for the little things. Be grateful for the things you can see. And then you'll start being grateful for the things you can't see. But you have to start somewhere. Start with the little things, you know?
Hey, you got to start kicking the darkness out of your life. You got to start kicking the darkness out of your life.
Yep.
If you're not looking at the good in your life, then you have too much darkness encamping around you.
Yep.
And this is like the moral of the message today. You got to get the darkness out from around your life. And that is really only through being grateful.
Yep.
That's it. I'm going to tell you right now, that's it.
That's simple.
Work on that. We're going to leave you with this tonight.
That's your homework. Do it.
You got to start looking at things in a different perspective and begin to start thanking for what you do have.
Correct.
And start just being very grateful. Your heart is wrong. Your heart is hard, and it needs to change.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's give the Lord a hand of praise.